Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with your co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at the subject of the settlement process. And if your settlement process has included a probate process, Paul, very well versed in this, very interesting subject. And why don't you review a little bit of where we've been on with the probate process?
People have a lot of questions about what does it mean to be in probate. Yeah. They've either heard, sometimes a lot of attorneys even say, well, probate is no big deal. It's very simple in Washington. And then they've heard other people or other stories say, this was the most complicated thing. Stay away from it by, with everything that you can. So last week what we talked about, and of course, we have all of our past podcasts at legacyandfaith.com. So head over to our website, click into that past podcast, get caught up on the previous shows. But where we were is we talked some about things that you can do to avoid probate. We can use joint ownership. We can use beneficiary designations, a community property affidavit. We can use a revocable living trust. These things can sidestep probate. Then we talked about, well, if we didn't use those things, or if we don't have any planning whatsoever, because like you mentioned at the top of the show,
50%,
more than 50% don't have any estate plan at all. And by the way, that's if you're 65 and older. So if you're under 65, the statistics say that
even higher.
Yeah. 65% of us don't have any type of estate plan. So number one, we all need to do estate planning. So number two is that if we have done something, we've used a will, we haven't done any type of planning, these types of things will lead us to a probate process. We talked a little bit about the process itself, who can come before the court, how are they put into power and authority, and the whole objective is that because I've died in my story, so in my stories, I'm going to use the example that I've died and that my oldest daughter is now going to be in charge of closing my estate.
Because you designated her as opposed to your spouse.
Or I'm not married. And okay. So let's kind of think through the process, because if I am married, it's very natural that my wife would have first dibs at closing the estate. Or we've used joint accounts and she's on my accounts. So those things.
Well, if you left no will, no designation, isn't that who the state is going to first pick, is the current wife?
Yeah. And that, of course, every attorney uses the same answer, which is it depends. And so, but it does, because if it's a second marriage, then there is a more confusing answer to that question. But let's, for simplicity, say that this is my first marriage, then yes, my wife is going to be able to close the estate. But so if I am single now and I've died and I've left instructions through a will that my daughter closes the estate, or I have no estate plan and she goes to the court to say, court, I want to close my dad's estate, then the court is going to empower her. And where we kind of left a little bit of a cliffhanger, because by the time we've gotten here, we've either spent probably close to about $2,000 right out of the gate. And so where does some of that cost go? Well, let's talk about that, because money is a big objective. It's a big question that people have is, well, how much does this whole thing cost? Statistically, on a national average, a probate will cost anywhere between 3 and 5% of your estate value. So if you have $1 million at the end of the day, because I'm going to use that because I can get the right answer, that's between $30,000 and $50,000 that you can expect for an average national probate to cost in order for your family to walk through it. Places like Florida, California, New York, they're atrocious. They're 10% or more. Mm. And so you hear of a lot of people using trusts in California because they're just trying to avoid the expense of a California probate at 10%. Anything that goes through, it's a statutory scheme down there.
So it's a 10% tax that goes to the state or goes to whoever?
It doesn't matter how you look at it, but it's a court-ordered system. So whether you look at it as a court fee or whether you look at it as a tax, look, probate is simply this. Probate is a system for those who don't plan. It is as simple as that. If you don't plan, you will march through probate one way or the other. You can avoid this entire process by making a plan. So that's always the call. The first call is, let us help you create a plan. If you don't like the sound of my voice, it's okay. Go find another attorney that you can trust who will help you develop a plan so that you, your family can have something to lean upon. Find a trusted attorney, please. There's many intelligent, well-suited, highly caring individuals out there who will help you. If you don't have somebody, give us a call. We'd be glad to help. But find somebody who can help you down this road. So that's always the first call of action, is have a plan. It doesn't matter how much you have. So we need to care for you first, and then we can deal with the assets. So therefore, everyone needs a plan. Now, so we're talking about the probate process. We're talking about the cost of it. How do we get there? Nationally, 3-5%. Some places are much more expensive. In Washington, the statistics I've been able to drum up over the years I've been here, and honestly, they're getting a little bit old, so I got to redo my research, but it's really hard to find statistics on this topic because Washington State is, we call it a non-intervention process, which means that the court will not intervene unless they're requested to do so. So you have to start at the court level, but then the court will take a hands-off approach to say, you are now empowered by us, go deal with the estate. If somebody has a beef, then they'll come back and they'll ask us to help. Otherwise, we are not going to intervene. So Washington is a non-intervention state, which means we keep really, really bad statistics because nobody's watching over an estate. In other words, we could open up a probate, get letters testamentary, close the entire estate, and the next thing the court has from us is a, we're closing the estate letter. Yeah, there's some things we have to do. We have to turn in some other documents, such as an asset list of the estate. But there's very little communication with the court, and we could close it virtually privately. It's called non-intervention. That is the misnomer, and that is why I think some attorneys or some of the language out in the marketplace is, well, Washington has an easy process. Well, it's easy until we get stuck in the mud, until we have creditors that are coming at us, until we have a disagreement in the family. There's multiple reasons of why a simple probate is no longer very simple. But in Washington, the statistics I have found is that it costs approximately 2% to close an estate. So it is cheaper. So what are some of the costs? Well, number one is that there's attorney costs. So most attorneys are going to cost about $1,000 or so to actually start the paperwork, get the ball rolling, get into court and actually close out and actually get the paperwork in line so that we can get someone empowered. There's a $240 filing fee that the court has. So that is what you have to pay to the court just to open up any case whatsoever. It costs money to actually get the letters testamentary or letters administration. It's $5 a pop. We usually get at least 3 or 4. So, you wanted to say something?
Well, I mean, you just got all these fees memorized.
Yeah, they're small. Okay. Yeah, well, and nobody can see that I'm just doing this off the top of my head. So yeah, thank you for that. Okay. So, and then we need to publish a notice to unknown creditors. So if we know that there's a creditor, for example, the hospital bill that I've been talking about in previous shows, just as a reference point, if I had died and I had medical bills that had really, been created during my lifetime. So let's say I have $50,000 worth of hospital bills and then I die from that and I never paid them. That is now a creditor to my estate. That's a known creditor because bills are being sent. So we have to deal with that in a different system. But unknown creditors are, if no one has been helping me with my finances, my daughter, who is closing my estate in my story, she may not know if I have credit card bills, if I have a contract with somebody that I borrowed money privately from somebody, or somebody owes me money privately. So there's a lot of unknown factors when you're not helping somebody with their finances and they just die.
Something about putting out a notice of somebody passing. What is that?
Yeah. It's a notice to unknown creditors. And so
where does that go?
Yep. It goes in any newspaper.
Oh, okay.
In the county that the person resided in. So
An obituary.
Almost like that, but it goes in the legal notices. So if you ever pick up a newspaper, go to the legal notices and you'll see these creditor notices all over the place. You'll see one of two major reasons, three reasons that people are putting in these. Number one is that they're going through bankruptcy and there's creditor notices there's notice to the public. And then someone has passed away. And what we're doing is we're putting the world on notice that I passed away, and if you have a debt and you think that I owe you money, you've got 4 months to get to the estate.
How long does that take?
Yep, 4 months, which is why we can't close a probate faster than 6 months.
Okay.
So it always takes 6 months. I've actually really never closed a probate faster than 6 months because of this one issue, which is by statute, we send out this notice, and we want to make sure that we close off anyone and everyone from coming to the table and making a claim against the estate. Mm. If you don't do that, then the law says that anybody who has a debt or that I owe money to, the estate has a debt, they have 2 years. So it's either we cut them off in 4 months or we hope that within a two-year span, nobody comes to the table.
So really, you have to leave the estate open for 2 years?
Well, if you don't use the notice system.
Okay,
so just by law.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean that people leave it open.
Yeah, people want to get on with things. They want to get that house sold.
That's why you use the notice system, is because we want to draw a line in the sand that says the estate is not going to be liable for any debts other than the IRS, okay, or Washington State, because they're the superpowers, so they can come at other times. But other than that, we want to cut this process off so we can move on. You're exactly right, Mark. That is why we use the process. So it brings some security. And so we were talking about the cost of probate, so there's another cost, is that now we've entered into, and typically that's $200 or less for most newspapers. Some of them can creep up into $250. So if you go through the whole puzzle and you add all these things together, and we go through this process and you take the attorney's advice who says, yes, do this newspaper thing so we can cut everyone off. We're at $2,000 in a heartbeat. Mm. And we haven't even started actually dealing with any of the creditors, any of the beneficiary questions. All we've done is open up the probate, paid the court costs, paid the notice to creditors, paid the attorney to get the credit to get the paperwork for the petition for the court to sign off, and have gotten somebody empowered. We haven't even spent one moment dealing with a single asset. We haven't spent one moment dealing with any creditor. We haven't spent one moment answering any beneficiaries' questions. So out of the gate, in my opinion, and typically my experience, we're up to $2,000 pretty quickly. And again, statistically, a Washington probate will cost about 2% of the estate. So that's about a $20,000. If you have $1 million, that's about $20,000 that you can expect to close an estate for through the probate process. So there is some, I hope that's very useful, some detailed information that I would be guiding clients by, some very, very specific things. Of course, if you listen to this program and it's 2 years down the road, then this could all change. And so as of today, this is what the process is like. This is the first run at just getting someone empowered. That's all we've done so far, is just get somebody empowered. And now after break, we'll talk about, now what do we do? Now what do we do with the debts? How do we deal with the assets? Now what do we do that we have someone in legal authority of the probate?
Okay, interesting discussion this week, the settlement process. And if you have to go through probate, what are some common questions? People have questions as they're listening to the program this week. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. Podcasts, past podcasts are there. Upcoming educational sessions about how to do estate planning are there, and ways to ask questions. So we'd love to get your questions. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
And Legacy and Faith Show this week, looking at the common settlement process questions, and particularly if you have to go through probate. Boy, this is really complicated. I can see why people enlist your services, Paul.
And let me say this, is that I'm using some very specific numbers, a very specific process. And the difficulty in having this conversation is that I want to give you good information. I want you to feel, understand what your family may walk through. And number one, I want you to do planning, because all of this can be avoided. All of this can be sidestepped with proper planning. But the danger in me speaking this specifically is that you may assume that this is exactly what's going to happen for you and your family, and I can't guarantee that. And so this is not intended to be very specific legal advice for you. As a matter of fact, at the end of every show, we say, that's right. If something applies to you, don't take it as legal advice, because I have to sit down with you specifically. And I'm finding myself saying this in the middle of the show, because a lot of times I'm not this specific. A lot of times in my shows, we talk about concepts, legal concepts, and I'm being far more specific with this show. So I want you to please understand, it is imperative that if you are at this point, you need to sit down with an attorney and get very legal specific advice for your situation. This is not to be used to be used in your circumstance as if this is how it's going to play out. So believe it or not, even though I'm using specific numbers, a more step-by-step, this is still intended to be general advice. This is not specific advice. Please contact an attorney you trust if you are in this circumstance.
Okay.
Now, with that disclaimer, I can move on. I feel a little more peaceful. But I really do mean it, is that I'm trying to give you really good, solid advice. The danger in that is that you think that this is the way it is for you. Okay. Now, what happens after we get someone empowered? We're out of the gate. We've got legal authority. Now we start the process of actually getting the family together.
Practical stuff.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to start gathering the assets. So how do we do this? Well, someone who has been getting help. So if I had in my story, if I had not been feeling well, maybe earlier before I had died, my daughter had come and she started helping me with the finances. So she was familiar with the finances. Well, if she's paying attention and astute, and then hopefully she has a better understanding of what I have and what I don't have, because she's been either paying the bills, she's been watching the bank statements, the investment statements.
Should she have been put on the checking account?
Well, that's a good question. And the answer is, let's do good estate planning, and then we don't have to do that. And so I always prefer that you do estate planning and instead of bringing someone onto your accounts. There are multiple dangers in that. I'll mention just a couple of them very, very quickly, and then we'll move on with the rest of the closing process. Number one, by law, if she's a joint owner, all of that money is hers. And was that my intent? If I have multiple daughters, so therefore I would have wanted potentially that money to be split with her sister. And now it's legally Rebecca's, my oldest daughter's. So I made a problem in my own estate plan because everything goes to her and no, it's not being shared equally. Number two, what if my daughter is being a good daughter and she's not stealing me blind? Because that happens too. Okay. People bring their kids onto the accounts and all of a sudden the accounts are being taken advantage of. It happens numerous times and you think you trust your kids. So that's always a big concern. But let's assume that my daughter is actually doing right. And it's at this time because she's helping me. She's more tired. She's busy. She's got her own family and she's being worn down emotionally and physically and she's not paying attention and bang, she's in that car accident. Well, now if she doesn't have proper insurance, umbrella policies and the whole nine yards, my account is at risk because now she's as a joint owner.
Wow.
And so if she has an unknown creditor or if she creates a creditor unknowingly, that's a danger. So multiple dangers.
Although this is very common.
It really is. I've represented people in that exact circumstance. These are not made up stories. I can't emphasize that. The stories I tell are because I've actually walked it with people. And so if we want to produce a more secure system, that's called estate planning. So let's not roll the dice that I hope something doesn't happen. I don't like I hopes. I want to know. And so therefore, we create an estate plan. All right. So we were talking about the fact that maybe my daughter was helping me towards the end of my life and is very familiar with my finances. That is actually, she's in a better advantageous situation because she's been watching what has been coming in and out of my estate. She's been watching the mail. She knows where everything is at. If she has not been in a position of assisting me, and let's say I die suddenly and she has no clue what I have, now she's at a disadvantage because the biggest thing we do is we watch the mail. We need to redirect the mail.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. Don't redirect it to your own address don't bring it to your own home because you will get mail in that person's name at your house forever and ever.
Right.
You will get all of their junk mail for ages to come. So one practical advice is open up a P.O. box for 6 months, for 9 months, however long it's going to take. Redirect the mail from the decedent's address to the P.O. box. Now, on a regular basis, go and open up the P.O. box, and you've protected your own address from the junk mail that is going to be coming across.
And you will, and I've been getting my mom's mail for 10 years. She died 10 years ago.
Yep. And
so I'm learning all kinds of things that I did wrong.
So there you go. You had it come to your home instead of to a P.O. box.
Fortunately, I haven't seen any bills.
Oh, there you go. Well, they're long over, it's okay.
Yeah.
So there's a practical thing for you to think about is get everything, all the mail going to a P.O. box and not your own address. And so now one of the biggest things that we're going to be doing is as an attorney, I'm going to say, send me everything. Open it up, get rid of the junk mail, but any bills, any assets, I want it all. I need to see everything so that we know what we're dealing with. Because remember, there's two major people that we have to take care of in a probate process or in any settlement process. Number one, intuitively, are the beneficiaries. We need to make sure that we're collecting any life insurance, all the assets, selling homes, getting it prepared, finding any oil rights or just all the things that we own in life that are the residual things. All of those things have to be gathered. But number two is that creditors have rights through a closing process. So we need the bills because we have a duty to make sure we treat them fairly. So now we're gathering everything. How do we do that? We watch the mail, and we usually watch it for 6 to 8 weeks. So why do probates take such a long time to close? Because we have an administrative process. We're gathering information when we don't know enough. So now we're going to be building an internal ledger sheet of all the assets, of all the bills. We're not paying anything yet. The only bills that we're going to pay are the ones that we need if you have a home to keep the electricity on. So,
speaking of the home real quick, too, how quickly can you put the home on the market?
As soon as we get the letter administration or the letter testamentary, in other words, as soon as someone is empowered to sign my name. And usually that takes a couple weeks at the minimum because we have to have a death certificate. And death certificates take anywhere from 10 to 14 days to get. So therefore, we can almost turn it around immediately. But look, we've got stuff fondly known as junk filled in houses. And now you tell me when we can list the home because we got to clear it all out. We got to give it away. We got to inventory it. We got to value it. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so, so for today, that's as far as we can get in today's show. But I hope that today's show was useful for a couple of things. Number one, what are some of the practical steps that we're going to take when we talk about probate? And by the way, even if we're using a trust, some of these things we have to do anyways. Well, the practical steps, some do's and don'ts, some practical things of how much it costs. And we'll come back next show and we'll just kind of continue on the process of what this is. But if you would like some more information, if there's any way that I can assist you, whether it's through a settlement, whether it's through creating an estate plan, because that's where we got to start, create an estate plan, head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. Lots of information there, legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. This has been another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.